that you're okay. There's a sign in the window that he struck you.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows anything goes.
It's not unusual to find out I'm in love with you. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Hello, and welcome to episode 62 of Hypeable.com's Glee Chat, the podcast all about the hit Fox show Glee. I'm Jessica, and I'm filling in for John this week, who couldn't be here with us, but we still wanted to get an episode out for you guys since it's been so unbelievably long since we have recorded. So I am joined tonight by Mitch, Natalie, and Roxanne. How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Hi, good.
We're excited because Roxanne and I are like hanging out together. We're like in real life right now. Like, this is as legit as it gets.
So tell us, Mitch, speaking of you guys being together, tell us what you've been up to during this big break in recording.
Well, basically, I moved here. I did a cross-country trip. I drove over, so I have my car here, which is cool. And then I just started grad school, and Roxanne's just been kind of showing me around, bringing me to Disneyland, pretty much showing me why I should love SoCal, and convincing me once again that I'm not moving from here because it is quite literally like the best place on earth. That's it.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad that your move has worked out for you, because that would not be fun if you moved and hated it.
It'd be horrible.
As you're stuck. Yeah. So Roxanne, what have you been up to other than being Mitch's own personal tour guide?
Pretty much, you know, just working and hanging out with friends, hanging out with Mitch, stuff like that, beach in it, Disney in it. We still have to go to Hollywood.
So, yeah. Typical summer vacation for a college student.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Having fun.
Having fun. Yeah, we're having a good time.
Good. And Natalie, what have you been up to on the other side of the ocean?
Well, last time we recorded, I was in the UK, in London, and I ended up being, hang on, I don't know if you can hear that plane, but it was really loud here, so I'll just...
Gives a character.
Yep. Well, the last time we recorded, I was in London, in England, and I went there at the end of April, and I was basically travelling for 2 months until the end of June, mainly in the UK, visiting a lot of friends and stuff that I have there, but I went to Paris a couple of times, one to hang with my friends and one to go to a concert. Some people might have seen on Twitter, I saw Darren Criss do a concert in Paris on his promotional tour thing, so that was nice. And then I also visited for a couple of weeks Israel, where my family live, my two older brothers, and then I've got three nieces and a nephew. We went down to the Red Sea in Israel at the like connection of Israel and Egypt, and we swam with dolphins and
that's awesome.
It was all snorkeling, and you know, did other things in Israel, went to all around. I've been there a lot of times since I was a child because my dad's from there, but it's the first time I went on my own as an adult, like without the rest of my family, so that was cool.
Well, Natalie, isn't that Red Sea the one that floats? Will you put anything in it and it'll always float? No matter what or something?
No,
That's the Dead Sea. That's also
in Israel. The Red Sea is the one that Moses put his stick in and parted to get the people out of Egypt to take them back to Israel, if you're into that kind of stuff. You know, in the Prince of Egypt. Or
the Bible.
That's a Disney movie. You know.
Really. Many nights we prayed.
No, that's a legit... That's literally... I wish that we could do like some kind of like... You know, Glee Chat reviews musicals on movies or something, because we would go through and like do like Hairspray. We can do like that Egypt movie. We can do so many like awesome like Grease or something, like
Egypt, like The King and I.
Yeah, like not The King and I, but the one we were just talking about.
Oh, God.
The Prince of Egypt.
Yeah, the Prince of Egypt. Yeah,
Prince
yeah. Guys, can you imagine how fun it would be? That's like perfect hiatus, like everything. That'd be great. We're convincing John. We're totally gonna have to do that.
Well, that's really cool that you got to do all that traveling, Natalie. I'm very jealous. Even though I did get to do a little bit of traveling myself, I got to go to Ireland and Scotland for a week with my dad and stepmom for vacations. That was fun. And then I've also started a new job and moved into a new apartment, which has pretty much occupied all of my free time. Now I'm like a real adult. I actually work 8 to 5, 5 days a week, all that kind of stuff instead of random hours, but it's good.
Well, that's nice because that's better for, well, it's better for podcasting whenever you have to like, you know, plan your hours ahead. You can at least try and like, you know, get it into like an hour consistently every week, you know. I know before that, like during Smash Chat, we would just be like, well, we're going to have to plan out the day before because we don't know.
Yeah, that was annoying. But so that's where we have all been since May. Busy, busy lives. But we're here tonight together to talk about Glee and Glee news.
Yay. Here we are.
So there has been some news that has come out. One of kind of the biggest things or most pertinent is that we found out a bit more about who's going to actually be series regulars and series guest stars, or maybe not even returning at all on Glee for season 5. So some characters that, you know, we've grown and loved, but won't be back as series regulars this season are Amber Riley, who of course plays Mercedes, and Heather Morris, who plays Brittany, Mark Salling, who plays Puck, Diana Agron, who plays Quinn, and Harry Shum Jr., who plays Mike. So they will not be series regulars and may or may not return as guest roles at some point in the season. And then in their place, new regulars will be Melissa Benoist as Marley, Jacob Artist as Jake, Becca Tobin as Kitty, Blake Jenner as Ryder, and Alex Newell as Wade Unique. So not that surprising about these cast changes, but you know, I know still this is probably hard for people who have grown to love some of the characters so much. Well, all of us have grown to love these characters since season one, but to finally see them go. For me personally, I'm okay with it. I'm kind of ready to move on from, I feel like a lot of those characters have played out their roles, but I know some other people feel differently. So how do you guys feel about this casting news?
It's different. It's going to be odd to know that we're not going to, you know, see any more like random storylines of Quinn or even especially Brittany. I'd say it's probably the most shocking. Everyone else, though, didn't really have any pertinence, I'd say, in anything. So I feel like in the end of the day, it's not going to be noticeable that Mercedes isn't around or that, you know, Mike isn't around. But Brittany's going to be sorely missed. She's, you know, the Dolphins Are Gay Sharks jokester girl. Like, she's one of the signature jokes of Glee, and to take that character off is going to, I don't know if it's going to hinder it, but it's going to change its tone ever so slightly.
Yeah. For me, like, again, me personally, and I know a
cool
lot of...
I'm cool with Brittany going.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, I was kind of tired of her character.
Yeah, I agree.
I personally will mostly sort of bummed about Puck because I think in the first 3 seasons he was probably the best developed character, like from what he was originally to how he ended up. I think that he had the most consistent growth and he was one of the few characters that they sort of managed to not weirdly backpedal at some point. I actually really liked what they did with Puck, but again in season 4 they didn't really focus on that anymore. I think it's just a shame that he didn't stay as someone involved with the rest of the cast, because I think that he was one of the best done characters, so I'll always sort of care about him, but they didn't really play it in season 4. Brittany, I've never liked her much, and I think that they've done a lot of weird things with her that were like wasted opportunities, you know, in order to make her, you know, things that could have made her more serious or rounded.
Irene, are you thinking back to alien probing Natalie that I'm always on?
Little bit since they actually confirmed that was what it was meant to have meant, because there was an original script that got released in which there was more of that scene and it did actually mean what we thought it meant, and they never went into it. So
my crazy theory was right. Like, that was really like a molestation.
It was right. Yeah, it was right.
Wow.
Because the script from that episode was released, and basically originally the scene was way more serious, and then they chose to go with a casual throwaway joke that meant, you know, that. So anyway, it is what they originally wrote. And I don't know, I'm kind of tired of her weird, mean jokes.
Yeah, I agree with you, Natalie, on that. I mean, the pull Puck thing, yeah, I'll miss Puck, but, I mean, it just seemed like they were trying so hard to keep Brittany and Puck relevant, especially Puck in season four, with the whole his brother thing and him dating Kitty, and it just was that, like, week of college. It's like they were just trying so... I think they were jeopardizing the storyline to keep Brittany and Puck around. So,
I completely agree.
Like, Amber was already gone, you know, Quinn was gone, you know, Mike Chang was already gone. But, I mean, they were really holding on to, you know, Brittany and Puck, and I think it's good that they're letting go, because I do like the people who are taking their place and their characters. I would like to see more of them.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree jeopardizing the story, and I'd go so far as to say also even kind of jeopardizing the characters. They weren't, like Puck, for example, or Quinn when she came back, two of the best and most complex characters in their first three seasons, but in season four, they jeopardized how good the characters were by giving them these sort of stupid half storylines where they're like caricatures or whatever. So perhaps it would be better if they weren't there, but they're just people that I wish could have in some way, you know, kept as much importance as they once did. But if they're not going to, it's a bit pointless having them there at all.
Well, Jane Lynch commented on how she feels about the stars leaving, and she stated, quote, "That's the nature of portraying a realistic view of high school. Kids graduate. They move on. I like that we're following some of the kids to New York where they're trying to make it as actors and actresses. But the show will evolve. And when a show evolves, that means you have to let some people go and let some storylines go so that you can pursue new ones," end quote. And I think that that is a fantastic way to summarize kind of all the stuff that we've been saying and to just really express what's going on. And I think that that was very well put. Jane Lynch, way to go. And in case...
Speaking of Jane Lynch, I might sound out of the loop here, but is she returning? Is she still on the show?
There hasn't been any news about her not being on the show, but again, Sue is a character that they always struggle, like whether she's going to have like a legitimate storyline or whether she's going to be a joke kind of thing, so...
Oh yeah, because I know she's doing, like, Annie on Broadway, and I can just say, like, she's Miss Hannigan in the revival, and I watched her perform at the Tonys, and she shocked me with how good she was. Like, I was really impressed with Jane Lynch's performance.
What, she sing Little Girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, was it good?
I was expecting it to not be as good as it was, but it was good.
How did it compare to the Glee version?
I don't even think about... When I watch a Broadway show, I don't even think about the Glee version. Yeah. She was good, though. Like, Jane Lynch was... I was shocked. Like, I was like, dang.
I mean, I don't think her run is... I think her run was just for the summer. I don't think she was staying in the show. But if she wanted to, I'm always up for people going to Broadway instead of being on Glee. Like, I think that, you know, if she wanted to stay on Broadway, it might be cool.
Well, I'm sure that we'll hear something for sure one way or the other in the coming weeks. I mean, there still is a bit of time. But another character that hasn't, or actress that hasn't heard one way or the other for sure about her character is Dot Marie Jones. And she was quoted as saying in an interview with E! Online that she is, quote, "I'm still waiting to see if I'm coming back to Glee." And she said, continued in the quote to say, "I pray to God I am. It's the best job I've had in my life. I'm thankful every day for my job on Glee." And, so, yeah, I mean, it sounds like she obviously really wants to come back, and it almost sounds like she's campaigning to, you know, to be on. And she even said, you know, I mean, she even said, quote, "I mean, this is my 23rd year in the business, and then to have two nominations for an Emmy the past 2 years, it's surreal," end quote. So clearly she wants to come back. And I know for me, I love Coach Beast, and I would love for her to come back. She's another one of those characters where sometimes they contrive ways for her to be on the show, and it's kind of awkward. But when they have organic plots for her, I love her character. But do you guys think that she'll make it back, or that we've seen the end of Beast?
I don't think there's any reason to get rid of Beast. She's a teacher. She can stay there forever.
If they're still based in the school, then yeah. I mean, my big question is how long they're going to be based in the school if they have this group of people graduate. I mean, I suppose that Ryder and Kitty and Marley are all still sophomores, if this is still the same school year, so they could potentially be in the school for another couple of years, but if they've been made regulars now, so they could be sticking around. But as long as they're still based in the school, she could be there. I really always like her. I think she works so much better than a lot of the other, you know, guest stars. She's never kind of like a joke like Sue. And just as long as we don't have any weird plots about her falling in love with Mr. Schuster again, that was horrible.
Yeah, that happened one too many times. I mean, it was one too many. And then it happened again. And I was just like, no, wait, he gave you your first kiss. And I guess that led you on too much? What's going on? I don't know what's going on.
It was just, I just got so, it's a real shame. I mean, her plot about her leaving her husband was really important for reasons, but yeah. It really annoyed me that they had this whole amazing plot about like someone, you know, kind of, you know, about the idea of what like a beautiful woman is and the idea of someone choosing her over someone, you know, thin and blonde and pretty like Sue or whatever, and then just to have that and then turn it into like, oh, but this guy abuses you. It's like, will a nice guy who doesn't abuse her like fall in love with her at any point? Her having a romance would actually be more interesting to me than the kids' chop and change romances. So
yeah.
Not that it has to be a main plot. It just seemed a bit unfair that they had that whole plot about, like, someone loving and accepting her and then turning it into, like, oh, but he punches me in the face. So that was a shame.
I agree with that, Natalie. I really do wish that they would bring her back and give her a love interest. And like you said, it's not like it has to be a main plot line. I mean, they have side plots out the wazoo, so
yeah, that's for true.
why not?
Honestly, I'd say that, you know, that Jolene moment was what, you know, Natalie was talking about. That song was Beast's shining moment. It was a great time to set up that abuse, you know, that was going to happen in the next season or the season after that. So to me, it felt like, you know, the Glee writers were actually, you know, looking to have a side story carry over from Shocker one season to another. And that was just really magical to me that I could look back at that. I mean, I know it's a horrible thing that she was abused, but the magical part was that it was a really coherent storyline. That was really fun to me. I really, really liked that part.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Natalie, you can finish.
No, you go on.
Okay. Well, we do have an actual premiere date for season 5, so we know when we'll find out for sure what's going to happen and who will be on the show. It is going to come back on Thursday, September 19th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
So we're keeping it at 9 p.m.
Yes.
That's a bit annoying, but I would prefer it went to 8 p.m. But
for your own time zone or for another reason?
Just for recording the show, because it seemed to work better when we recorded straight after the show and recording it after the show when it airs at 9 p.m. might be a bit of a problem.
It's late.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but at least we know when it is coming back, and we got to see a little promotion for the new season, and in this little press release, the Fox asked a few questions that I'm sure questions all of us have been asking already, and we will be discussing a few tonight and at some point between now and when the season starts. But anyway, so questions that they're asking: will Rachel be Broadway's next baby? Will Blaine marry Kurt?
Do you want to go all the way through? Yeah, do that. Go all the way through, and we'll talk about our points. Sorry, Jess. Messed up your mojo. Oh,
that's okay. Well, and I don't want to talk about all of these necessarily right now.
But no, you're saying Broadway baby for Rachel and then Blaine.
Yeah. No, I'm saying I wasn't going to go through and have us theorize on all of these right now.
Anywho, did you guys find it interesting that Broadway baby was that wording? Broadway's next baby? Are we going to see that pregnancy thing come back or anything like that?
Oh, I hope not.
I don't think so. I hope not. But anyway, so in this press release, they asked a couple of questions. So, will Rachel be Broadway's next baby? Will Blaine marry Kurt? Can the kids of New Directions win yet again at Nationals? Find out the answers to all these Glee-related questions when a new season of the hit musical comedy launches.
You'd think that they could write a better press release than that by now.
Yeah, the questions are very, like, choppy and disjointed, but
It sounds so like it sounds really tacky.
It does.
Oh well.
But I mean, those are the questions that we are wondering about, and we will theorize on before the new premiere. Mm-hmm. Well, we do know that season 5 is starting to kind of get underway and get developed a little bit. Lea Michele has tweeted a few simple, basic first looks, some pictures. She tweeted a picture with the cast, and it's like one of those pictures where you like collage them.
Instagram.
And yeah. And in it, there's Artie and Sam in graduation caps and gowns, so at least we know that that's going to be happening.
And that he's actually going to graduate, because he's probably, you know, the same category as Brittany, maybe. Natalie will have a fun time ripping that apart, but we don't know if he's supposed to be stupid, really.
Not just Natalie, Mitch, me too.
Stupidification of Sam.
Yeah, that's...
Greatest crime this show has committed.
Oh, God, yeah. I could seriously, like, we could probably do an entire
podcast
just about that.
For real.
Character.
Yeah, anyway. It drives me crazy. But anyway, and then she took, Lea Michele took the big cast photo and kind of chopped it and tweeted it.
She cropped out the noobs.
Yeah, she cropped out the new people and just left in a fair few from the original cast, and she calls it her family photo. But you can see those pictures on hypeable.com, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's where we got
them okay.
from the story.
So yeah, those are on Hypeable if you want to check out those pictures that she tweeted. And of course, follow her on Twitter, because she's forever tweeting out stuff about Glee and what's
she
going on.
She spoils everything. she runs her mouth about the show all the time. She gives so much information. I'm just going to be amused at when these photos come out and they Photoshop Darren Criss into the side of it, because he's not there for me. Pretty sure he was on his live tour, and they have added people into these kind of pictures by Photoshop before, mm-hmm. but it's funny to see this one now and that they're going to like have him poke out the side randomly at a later date.
Oh, yeah, that'd be funny. I didn't even think about that.
But they're really good about that stuff. We wouldn't even get to recognize it, but the before and after pictures will just be like, I don't know, they'll like delete Tina and like put him over her or something.
Speaking of Blaine, of course, one of the big questions about the new season is whether or not he's going to end up proposing to Kurt and if they're going to get married. And Matthew Morrison has been quoted speaking out about what he thinks should happen with this plot development. And he does say that he does not think that they should get married and that it's not a quote unquote gay or straight thing, but he thinks that they're just too young and people should wait until they're in their 30s. And he said, quote, probably the most growth you'll ever have in your life is in high school and your 20s, because you're kind of living on your own for the first time. There's so much exploration to do, self-exploration, and I don't think anyone should be getting married that young, end quote. And in addition, we know like in season 3, when Kurt's going on about his New York City fantasy and everything, in it he talks about being married by the time he's 30, that he's in no rush for that. And so, yeah, this is a big thing, and it's definitely been divisive amongst the fandom, and everybody has got an opinion on it. I feel the same way about this potential marriage as I did about Rachel and Finn, in that they are way too young, and they don't have the maturity level. Hello, they're not even technically a couple. I don't understand, but...
Yeah, I mean... Basically, my main issue here is, besides from the fact that I didn't even like them together when they were a couple by the end, the main issue here that no one is pointing out, that no one in the show pointed out to Blaine when they were being like, Blaine, are you sure this is a good idea? That Sam, who tried to talk him out of it, and Bert Hummel, who tried to talk him out of it, neither of them mentioned the fact they're not actually together, so this isn't inappropriate.
Right?
This isn't appropriate. It's pushy and inappropriate, Blaine. Back the hell away. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not okay. And that's, I would be saying this if the couple was any age. I do think they're too young. I do think it's ridiculous. I do think they stop trying, like, to promote the idea of proposing to someone when you're in high school with first, like, Finchel and now this. But even if they were 30, I would still be like, you guys aren't together. He has not implied that he wants to be together with you. You're he's the wronged party, technically, even though you were both kind of messed up in the relationship. It ended because he's the wrong party. Like, Kurt is the wronged party. So why does Blaine think it's okay to just be like, oh, and the big thing that he kept making it about, he kept being like, but you don't understand how important this is that we, like, gay people can get married now. I'm like, great, like, straight people can get married now as well. It doesn't mean that, like, Marley and Jake are getting married because, like, to celebrate the fact that straight people can get married. I know that that's not, like, comparable, but I also don't think that, like, every gay couple out there that's a couple ran and got married as soon as, you know, gay marriage was legalized in their state. I think that lots of people did because they'd been living together like they were married for a long time, and it was important mm-hmm. that they could finally validate that. But I don't think a bunch of 18-year-olds are like, oh my God, gay marriage is legal now, better do it. Like, I don't think that that's the thing that was happening. So I don't know why Blaine thinks he can't, and the fact that he kept saying that, he was like, you don't understand how important it is, how much it means that we have this now. I'm like, great, you can celebrate that, but wait until you're actually right to get married.
Of course.
Either way, you know?
Like, right. Well, and like, I felt like the show, even with it, they didn't need the whole Blaine thing, because they even had that older lesbian couple that had been together for years and years and years, and then one of them proposed to her partner. So, like, they were able to show a gay couple getting engaged and celebrating the law being passed. So I don't understand why they are.
Yeah. And I hated that woman supported Blaine, because she was like, oh, you know, if you think
too.
It's for real, that,
yeah,
then
that
don't worry.
Legit,
I hated that she spoiled, because in her own relationship, they were like, oh, we've been together 40 years or whatever. But she was like, yeah, we broke up twice and got back together twice. It's like, what? So if you'd gotten married when you guys were 18, when you guys first got together, you would have gone through two divorces and remarriages? Is that, you know, is that okay? Like, surely, if you can be together for as long as you want, but surely wait until you know that it's going to be for real, you know, for as long as possible before actually getting married, as opposed to proposing to someone who literally doesn't want to be with you. To
oh,
be
by
like,
the way, guys,
you know,
I'm
like,
getting married next week, so watch out.
Oh, cool.
To me, sorry, Mitch-Ann.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's, so basically, yeah, I really hope, I'm like, the way that they've painted it as so positive is worrying to me. And I'm just hoping that it's a really clever setup for Kurt to be like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like,
yeah.
Why do you... Like being like Blaine, that it's like the final straw in them breaking up, and him and Kurt being like, Blaine, honey, like, I'm really glad that we're friends and I do have feelings for you, but how on earth did you think that this was a solution?
I'm just still hoping something happens to knock Blaine in his senses back to where he doesn't actually propose to Kurt. Cause
it's just so stupid right now. I can't believe it. Well, I can, because he's like a delusional and needy child, and he always has been. But
yeah.
Like, he's so needy and has been. But oh wow. So does anyone here want Clayne to get married? Like, is that a thing?
No, I do
like
not.
That anyone wants in season 5?
Not in season 5.
Like, maybe it's Blee for like 10 seasons and they get, and like the last episode of the last season is them, or like the last storyline of the last season is them at like 26 or something, like getting engaged, like after being apart for all this time and being like, oh, actually we still want to be together, you know, and getting back together. Like, I just, you know, maybe then, but I cannot handle another high school engagement in this show. Like, I just...
Yeah, I
Sam
completely
and
agree.
Is the equivalent of this. Sam and Brittany's Let's Get Married Because of the Apocalypse equates to this clean marriage to me.
Well,
even
Ventral. Like,
yeah,
they already did. They already did the young couple getting engaged, and then they broke it off. And then, hello, it's a good thing they did, because they both were not ready for marriage. Clearly, based on everything. So
I'm worried that the fact that they broke off the Finchel wedding means that, like, oh, plot twist, this one will work. Like, I really hope that that's not a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that Sam was, you know, Brittany, you know, that Blaine was like, oh, but you tried to get married to Brittany, to Sam, and that Sam was like, yeah, because I literally thought it would be for 2 days before the world ended, and when I realized it wasn't, I regretted it. I wasn't ready to be married forever. I was ready to be married for 2 days. But I still, like, wouldn't mind Finchel being endgame and them getting married, you know, when they're ready, when they're adults.
Right.
Because I really love the way they're coming back together in the end of season four and the way they are about each other, but I don't want them to be married now, and I don't want Clayne to be married pretty much ever. Blaine certainly is in no position to be doing this. There's nothing about this that's okay that Blaine is doing this.
Agreed. Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. But
yeah, I'm with you, Natalie.
The only other little bit of news that we have actually just came out kind of right before we were recording, we started recording, and it's not much, but there has just been a couple of mentions here and there about new casting calls for new characters on Glee. And so TV Guide's Asuelo, right? Isn't he from TV Guide?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Asuelo, however, I don't know how you say his name.
So TV Guide's Asuelo, who is always giving out spoilers and things, just said that there are at least three new female recurring characters, including African-American McKinley newbie Ruby and 20-somethings Julie and Ryan. He says, interestingly, actresses auditioning for Ryan must be able to sing and play guitar. Potential portrayers of Julie just need to be cute and quirky. And then we also hear through TV Line that Glee is casting for four new recurring roles, and they just list out the names as Ruby, Henry, Julie, and Ryan. So not, you know, much to go on there, but just know that they are casting some new characters. Hopefully these are just going to be like secondary background characters who come in with the plots of our current very large cast.
Yeah, I know.
Characters?
Like, come on, we're getting rid of characters just to add more. That was not what needed to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm betting the girls, the 20-something girls, Julie and Ryan, I'm betting that one of them, or potentially both, are love interests for Santana. Mm. And I'm going to groan so hard. This girl that calling this girl Ryan, and she must be able to sing and play guitar. I really hope that they don't go for the whole like kind of like butch stereotype thing. Not that there's a problem with girls who choose to identify like that, but it would just be a bit like, oh no, this is the kind of lesbian that Santana needs to be with, if you know what I mean. It would be nice if she just had some normal, you know, normal girl. And seeing as she's already kind of expressed that she doesn't like that kind of thing, that that she seems to like sort of feminine girls. So it will be interesting, and it might be totally wrong. Maybe they're just Nyada people. But we haven't seen a girl who's kind of a musician in the show. Marley writes songs and stuff, but we haven't seen a girl play guitar the way that we've seen, like, I suppose Rachel writes my headband, but we haven't seen, like, a girl singer who's a kind of, like, I play the guitar, I've got, you know, that kind of, like, indie potential. Mm-hmm. So that might be interesting, but I hope that they don't take that so far as to mean like, because of this, she's like a guy, if you know what I mean. Because normal girls can also play the guitar, like, it's
right.
Fine, you can do that. So we'll see.
Well, let's go ahead and talk very briefly, not deep crazy theories, just brief ideas and thoughts.
Who would do that? Not me.
On some predictions or thoughts on what's going to happen in season five. So first of all, what about Ryder? Because at the end of season four, he quit New Directions and he and Unique were not on good terms. Do you think that he will be able to eventually forgive Unique for what happened and rejoin the group? Roxanne, what do you think?
I don't know. That whole thing was just too weird, and I don't even think it's, will he be able to forgive Unique? It's just like, I don't see any reason for him to forgive Unique. I don't think it's like will Ryder be able to forgive her? No, it's like, does Unique deserve to be forgiven? in my point of view.
I mean, I would hope that he would forgive her in the same way that he would forgive anyone who was doing that. I mean, he was pretty angry and upset at the idea that it was Marley. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, it's you? Okay, I'll... You know, when Marley admitted to it, and he was angry at her as well. So it's not like, oh, if it had been a girl.
Exactly. You know,
if it had been a girl, he would have been like, oh, my God, go out with me. No, exactly. So he was clearly going to be upset, whoever it was. And, I mean, there's only a level of how upset you can be. I think that it's less bad that it was unique than Marley. Like, if it had been Marley, it would have been her lying directly to him, you know, emotionally, quote-unquote, emotionally cheating on her boyfriend, you know, when they've already had conflicting feelings between Marley and Ryder and Jake. And so I think unique is technically less bad that it was her, but at the end of the day, I mean, what she said was true as well, that, like, you know, everything, it was all her. She just, you know, wanted to find a way to sort of make him open up. It's pretty dodgy, but there is something about it that's understandable as well.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I hope, even if so, like, I hope it's not just like, I forgive you for everything, let's be BFFs. Like, that's just weird, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No, but I would love to see them work on their relationship.
Oh, yeah, totally. But I would hate for it to just be like, because that was a giant plot line that we made a huge deal. Oh, by the way, forgive and forget. Like, shouldn't forgive her. I'm just saying I'd hate to see it. Just that whole plot that took up so much time was just thrown out.
Yeah,
forgive and forget, you know?
Yeah, no, given that Ryder's been, you know, become a series regular, and so has Alex Newell. I'm assuming that he will rejoin New Directions at some point, but I would really love to see them slowly become very close, because they clearly did have that connection that, you know, whether Ryder likes it or not, he felt comfortable talking to this person. So it would be interesting to see that transition. I would love it. I think I would absolutely love it if they got together, in that I think I don't know if Glee could pull it off as well as it would deserve to be pulled off, but if they got together, it would be the perfect example of, like, falling in love with who someone is rather than, like, what the external idea of them is, if you know what I mean. Like, really falling in love with a person. I don't think Glee could pull it off as well as it would deserve to be pulled off, though.
Interesting. Well, another big cliffhanger that was left is, of course, Rachel auditioning for Fanny and Funny Girl. So what do you guys think is going to happen? Well, first of all, what do you want or think should happen? And then what do you actually think will happen? Mitch, what about you?
I think that she should get it, and I want her to get it, because it is a legitimate crawl to Broadway fame that I think Rachel Berry has wanted from season one, you know, episode one, when she was running on that treadmill and she was reaching her gold star. She deserves this. She's worked hard for it, and I think that she is talented enough for it. And that is, you know, speaking for both, of course, Lea Michele and her character Rachel. So I would love if it would happen, only because of the build-up we've had towards it. And if it didn't happen, I'd just feel really wasted. Almost like, you know, Natalie was talking about how Puck's been built up and all of a sudden he's just gone. You know? That's what it would feel like equivalent to.
What about you, Roxanne? You're our Broadway guru.
Ooh! Okay, Lea Michele is, like, Broadway amazing. Like, we all know that, you know? Les Mis, Spring Awakening, like, she's amazing. But, like, for Rachel's character to just show up at the school, be a big shot, and get cast in a lead... What are you going to do with her character after she gets cast as a lead? I think they should tell her, thank you, you can be in the chorus. That's what I think should happen.
That's how
thank you,
I feel about
here's
it
a nice
too.
Ensemble spot for you're still in school. Yeah. Haven't been on anything
I don't,
else.
I,
ask.
Yeah,
there you
I
go.
Don't,
that's what I think should happen.
Unless they want to turn this into Smash. Let me be your star, Catherine McPhee.
No, yeah. She should get a role in the chorus, I think. That's what I'd like to see.
I completely agree. Natalie, what about you?
Yeah, I do think that I do think that it I don't even think her final audition, the singing audition, the Celine Dion song she did, was that good. I do not think it was her best performance ever, and the people's reaction to it seemed very flat, and she kind of seemed to vibe that. And I think it's a shame because, yeah, I mean, once in a lifetime, I guess that does happen for people, that they show up to, like, their first... It's not... Catherine McPhee and Smash at least have been auditioning at a lot of people. A lot of things. You know, Bombshell was the first thing she got cast in, but, she, you know, it was not... You know, and she was cast in the chorus and then bumped up to Marilyn. But, you know, Bombshell was the first thing she got cast in, and after lots of auditions. This is Rachel's first open casting call. Yes, they're looking for someone new. You know, yes, sometimes people do get into things from open casting calls when they've never even auditioned for anything before. Mm-hmm. But I think it's kind of a shame that it's Funny Girl, because I think that what we should have had is, because I don't think she's going to get it, and I don't think that she should get it. I think maybe at the most she might get, like, the understudy and then get seen by something awesome, you know, someone awesome, like the one night that she has to actually cover for it. But the thing is, that's her dream number one role. And so I would have liked her to get it, but I don't think that at this point in her career that it's realistic or that she should. I wish that she'd gone out for another show for the lead, like something, I don't know, something else, Wizard of Oz, I don't care, something, and not gotten it, and got the, and we'd seen her have, like, you know, a part in a chorus, you know, in an ensemble, and that had been her life for a couple of years, and then it's like open casting calls for Fanny Bryce, her one pinnacle dream role.
No, exactly. Okay, I think for her to get Fanny Bryce right out the box is just... And if she gets it, like, what are you gonna? How are you gonna build the plot from there? It's like, okay, Rachel's dream. Oh, accomplished. End of Rachel.
pretty much. Yeah. And Glee, like, is not Glee without Rachel. I'm sorry. If Rachel is gone, it is no longer anything of a resemblance of what we used to know of Glee, because she is a lot of the rock of Glee. She's not to the equivalent of Britney. If Britney's gone, I'm sad, but I'm not devastated. If she's gone, regardless of how you feel about her, even if you absolutely hate her...
She's the only one. You could take anyone else out.
Yes, you absolutely could. Like, take away Will, please. Take away Matthew Morrison. I don't want it.
Get out of here. Matthew Morrison's amazing.
But keep Lea Michele on.
He's
and...
not.
What was
the best
that,
thing Matthew Morrison's ever said is that Clayne shouldn't get married. Everything else is...
Don't hate on Matthew Morrison.
But anyway, yeah, seriously, you could take anyone else out, even Kurt, and it would still be the same show.
Yeah.
She's the only person that's been in every single episode. Mm-hmm. No other character has been in every single episode.
No, she's been...
No, she hasn't been in every episode.
Yeah.
There were a couple of episodes.
There was that one episode this season that only focused on McKinley, literally only. That's right. But before that, yeah. I think they once said Rachel is... I think at the beginning of season four, they're like, Rachel is the only character that will be in every episode. Some episodes won't have anything else. And I guess they ended up changing their mind about that. But you couldn't... I just
but regardless, the point is the same. She's, for lack... She is the main character of Glee, even with all of the other characters.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I don't think she's going to get it. I don't think she should get it. If she does get it, it's going to be like, yeah, where do you go from that? And it would be a shame. Pardon?
Maybe she could tour. Maybe she could be in the ensemble, and then when she gets a touring cast, she could tour. Like, if they go on tour, it would be like, oh, you can be Fanny Bryce on the tour.
That's true.
I really...
But then she won't get playing Fanny Bryce and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just that she wants a Tony for playing Fanny Bryce is like her main big thing. And I just don't think it's set up for her to have that now. And so it's a shame. They should have put her in something else first and then worked up to it.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's why I'm afraid she will get it. I don't think she should get it, and I don't want her to get it, but I'm afraid that Glee will give it to her. I could see them doing something like you mentioned, Natalie, where maybe she gets cast as the understudy, and then, like, that's her struggling with that all season, and then in the end, like, next season finale or something, the main girl can't go on, and so she gets to go on. I don't know, but
no,
I could see them doing...
Don't get Tonys.
Right. And
even if she wasn't the first, like, even if she was so good as the understudy that, like, the main girl leaves and she's the new Fanny Bryce, she's not going to get a Tony for it because they don't do Tonys for replacements. It's only the first actress in the role.
Right.
So it's all very difficult, honestly. I feel like that for her to get it and then be successful at it, and then what, she's just going to not finish college and we're going to show that that's okay to just go do 1 year of college and then... I mean, a lot of people in the theatre world, I guess, if they are studying, they are constantly trying to do auditions as well. But surely she wants to do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I really hope that she doesn't get it, but I'm afraid that they'll do that. I really, really hope that they don't, though, because, I mean, she, of course, Rachel has faced struggles and things throughout high school and now college, but... for the most part, she's still overcome everything and been very, very successful. And so I feel like for her, I don't know, it's just too early. She needs to get more experience and then and build up to this more. But mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah, I just don't know how they can make this happen in a way that will be realistic and satisfying without mm-hmm. being like, too fantastical, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
And without taking away from something that she wants. Because if she did get the understudy or whatever, that would be great, but it would still be like taking away from her ultimate dream or whatever.
Right. So let's move on from Rachel and talk about Finn. So, of course, last season, Finn's character went through a bit of a unstable period because of what was happening in the actor's personal life and everything. So, what do you think they're going to do for season 5 to bring him back in?
I don't know, because, like, his introduction...
Well,
I mean, his outro wasn't explained, and we all know why, because it was too sudden to try and change anything. So how do you recover from that is my question.
Wait. When's the last time we saw Finn?
Finn was joining New Directions to be Will's second-in-command, and I believe he just apologized to Will, and Will's like, you know what, I'll give you a second try.
Wait, was that before or after he punched what's-his-face in the face?
That was after.
Oh.
Maybe it was the same episode.
Yeah, episode where he had gone to college, and he was partying, and then Pug was like, dude, you gotta make something of yourself, and Finn's like, I'm gonna be a teacher.
Wait, have we seen him since he beat up, really attractive...
No. Brody. I'm just going to go on a record and say that I'm still so angry with the way the Brody storyline was happened.
Oh, I know. That was horrible.
Mm. Well, I think that it's really gross that he would, you know, I think that it's really horrible that he, like, lied to Rachel and potentially, like, you know, might have been unsafe or something like that. I hate that they made him a villain for that because, you know, they didn't have any sympathy for him when he... clearly it wasn't like, oh, I'm cocky and I'm just going around, you know, screwing women and stuff. He had so much shame and guilt about it. He had so many issues about it, and that they still made it, like, they still villainized it. And you know, they had Santana villainize it, they had Finn villainize it, and the last we see is him getting beaten up. I hate that. I thought that was horribly handled and just a horrible message to send. I'm not saying that we should, like, glorify prostitution, but it was a problem for him, and it wasn't treated like a problem. It was treated like he was evil, and that was horrible. Anyway, I think that was the last time we saw Finn, when he beat up Brody.
Because if that's the case, then he can just walk back in. He could just be like, oh, he beat up Brody,
I'm pretty sure, and I'd need to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that happened... Before the college episode.
Okay, no, but still, guys, he can't just be reintroduced right after the introduction of, here's Finn, he's going to help us out, guys, woo! Like, how are they going to bring him back at all?
Here's what I reckon. I reckon they could do it. I reckon they could just say, like, the whole conversation between him and Will Schuster about him coming back to get college credit for helping with teaching, I reckon that they can... If they did it well, they could do. They could, if they didn't have him with New Directions, they could bring, because he was brilliant. He was amazing as their teacher. I loved that whole thing. But what they should do is have him say something like, "I wasn't able to return until my second semester of college. Like I had to do
that's
classes
easy.
In
that's
my first semester, and then you say like, oh, like you know, be like." oh, cool, like, second semester, I'm finally able to do my, like, practical teaching credit or whatever. If you know what I mean? Like, they say it's something like that he couldn't do it in the first semester of college.
Which makes sense. Oh, but
they're already in, like, the second.
But it's his first semester.
Well, but for it to be a new semester, it would have to be a new school year. Because the spring semester of college has already started.
Oh,
and
we're still in the same year of school. We haven't even gone to nationals, have we?
Right. So sectionals. For them to do that, it would... Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, it was sectionals. It was regionals.
We just went regionals, yeah.
Wow, Roxanne.
So for him...
Dumb.
Yeah, so for Finn to be able... For Finn to say, like, a new semester, it would have to be the fall of the next school year.
Or he could just come back and help them with nationals. I don't see...
Yeah, I mean, I noticed his absence,
to be honest with you.
I don't think it's... Oh, sorry, go on, Roxanne.
Like, I didn't really notice he was gone. Like, there's... episodes where, like, Sugar's not in half the episodes. Like, if a character's missing, I'm just like, okay, they weren't there that week, you know? I don't think it's hard to slap Finn back in.
The only reason that I noticed the Finn thing is because of the conversation that happened the episode before he disappeared.
Yeah,
was a very pointed, like, he's going to be in New Directions every week preparing for regionals. And then for nationals, like, it was very...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
he's going to be there.
I don't know, maybe... There's still got to be a way to just be like... I hope they do explain it in some way, but there's still got to be a way for them to be like... maybe I had to do a few more weeks of classes, but now in nationals preparation, I get to do my...
They're probably just going to pretend like... nothing happened and he was just there.
Behind the scenes.
And then most people won't even notice, but we'll be like, So anyway. But so lots of things to speculate about and think about clearly for the new season. And I'm sure there will be a whole lot more news coming out between now and September. When the season 5 premieres. But yeah, that's pretty much it for this week. We don't know when the next time is that we will be recording, but we will be recording again before season 5, obviously. We're not going to disappear for the entire month of next 2 months. So just keep an eye and on our Twitter account and on Hypeable to find out when we release a new episode. And you can find us on Twitter at the handle @Glee_chat. And you can also, of course, find us at Hypeable.com, where you can read up on all the latest news about Glee season 5 and beyond. Who knows? Maybe they'll come out with something about that too. But go to Hypeable.com and check out all that. And you can find the latest podcast there. And you can leave us comments on the show notes for this episode or any other episodes that come out. We really do love hearing from you guys. And we miss you. We're sorry it's been so long, but we are here. We are alive, and we will be back.
Love you dearly.
So please forgive us. Lives have been busy, but... So yeah, that is it for this episode. So until sometime. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.